Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Anybody remember what we're talking about? Let's go to 1 Peter. You guys act like you're awake this morning. Everybody awake? If not, we'll get out the hot shot. Anybody know what a hot shot is? Anybody know what you want to motivate a cow? You give it a hot shot. I was raised around the ranch here, and because my family's been involved with the ranch for years, and I watched the way they treat the animals sometimes. And you can motivate an animal, you know. I figure you can motivate a human too. You just don't be afraid. I don't have a hot shot. Some people are like, what kind of church is this? We're a passionate church. We're passionate about the Lord and life in Christ. Amen? Just be glad I don't preach as long as Paul. He preached so long, somebody fell asleep in a window and fell out and died. Now, of course, they did raise him from the dead, but at least we're not preaching all night. Let's go to 1 Peter. We're talking about royalty, and we're talking about being born of divine seed. And we're going to get into this particular part of this message is like some of the most exciting parts of Scripture that I have ever learned personally. And it is absolutely life-changing what we're going to learn this morning. And so I want you to be really attentive, okay? And we're in the eighth part of this, and this series will wrap up today and then next week, and then we'll start another one. But you want to really key in to some of the ways that the Scripture points out some of the things we're going to talk about today. Because we're going to discuss the issue of spirit, soul, body, which we've been talking about, but I'm going to show you from the Scripture how to win against your flesh every time. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And also, you're going to understand what the desires of your flesh are. Because, and I'm entitling this Understanding the Conflict, and because most of you know this, but the realization that you've come to is, the reality is that you realize that you're not just in a conflict with the enemy, but that you have a conflict within yourself. And we're going to break it down through Galatians. Actually, we're just going to go back up where we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to go back up in Galatians and talk about the desires of the flesh and what they are. And then talk about how, where your mind comes into play in all of this. And how your mind is to be transformed and renewed by the Word of God. When you understand what the desires of your heart are, what the desires of your flesh are, and you have your mind renewed to the Word of God, you can dominate your body every time. And that's what I want to show you. This was one of the biggest revelations I believe that Paul received. Was understanding that Christ was in him, but yet his flesh still had desires to do things that it shouldn't. How many know that? I mean, it's not rocket science. Just wake up in the morning. just be awake in the morning. Wake up. Just have your kids wake you up before you wanted them to. You'll realize your flesh has desires that you... Wait a minute, where's that from? Well, we're going to show you where it's from and then show you how to deal with it. And this is what true spirituality is. You know, a lot of times, because I have a pretty Pentecostal Word of Faith background, and a lot of times in that group, I've met and dealt with people that think spirituality is supernatural things. Or I should put it like this. This is a better word. Spectacular things. Well, there's a lot of things that are spectacular that aren't from the Holy Spirit or from the Spirit of God. And there are a lot of things that are spectacular that are from the Spirit of God. And we'll talk about those eventually. But really, living a spiritual life is not like, you know, what I might call a particle picker. Somebody who's always seeing something in the Spirit. You know what I mean? Have you ever met somebody like that? Maybe some of you, this is new to you. But somebody who always thinks they're having this like out-of-body experience with God. Have you ever met somebody like that? They're not as spiritual as they come across. The truly spiritual people that have influenced my life through the years and that I've known are those who know how to obey the Word of God no matter what they feel and not obey their flesh and the desires of their flesh, even though their body may be screaming at them. Those are truly spiritual people. I went to Bible college at Rhema, and the leader of the founder of Rhema Bible College is Kenneth E. Hagin. Well, he saw the Lord, and visions are real. We'll talk about these eventually. We'll have to do a whole teaching on these because it's biblical. But visions are real, and he saw the Lord, I think, 8 or 9 times in his life. But, you know, even after he would tell us that, he would tell us, look, it's probably not going to happen to you. You know, and in my zeal, I was like, oh, man, come on, I want to see the Lord. But then I read in the scripture where the Lord told Thomas, you're more blessed if you believe and don't see. I thought, I want to be more blessed. So Lord, don't show me you. I'll believe without seeing. You know what I mean? Now, I've had some spiritual experience. I've never seen the Lord. But I don't live off those. I live off the guidance and the light of the Word of God. And when you live your life from that place of stability, everything else comes into the filter of that Word. There are people that have had amazing spiritual experiences and started whole new cults out of what they call Christianity. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. We can't have that. That's not a part of what we never exalt experience above the Word of God. Ever. It's dangerous if you do. And if you do and you want to be there, or you want to experience those things, the enemy can supply some experiences for you as well. Like the lady who really wanted to hear the voice of God, and she felt like she was praying, and she felt like the Lord told her at 4 in the morning to go to her neighbor's house and ask for a cup of sugar. No, that's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not waking and then share Jesus with the person. What? Why not invite them over for lunch, man? After they slept a little bit, you know what I mean? Most of the time, that's not the case. So we need to always come back to the Word of God and come back to the Word of God. And so that's a little plug for making sure your life's grounded on the Word. And in no way am I despising those things that are real as far as supernatural things. It's just that day to day, we don't live in the ether waves. You know what I mean? When I pray, I do not glow in the dark. I don't levitate off the ground. None of that stuff, okay? That never happens. In fact, when I go to pray, I'm a lot like everybody else. My body goes, I don't want to pray. And I have to fight off 10 million thoughts that come to me to try and distract me from praying and reading my Bible. How many experienced that before? That is as spiritual and spiritual warfare as it gets. You know, I mean, that's absolutely the truth. That is spiritual warfare. Most of the encounter of spiritual warfare that you are going to experience in your life is in the mind. It's going to come against you as a thought. Okay? And so just keep that in mind, because we don't want to get off. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we're talking about being born again. I'm going to start in verse 22. It says this, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in the sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. There's a whole lot of truth there that we need to get into eventually. But listen, we need to make sure we love the body of Christ with a fervent, pure heart. Well, they mistreated me. It doesn't matter. We need to love them with a pure, fervent heart. Doesn't matter how crazy they are. Doesn't matter how disobedient they are. It doesn't matter how zealous they are and they've injured people. We need to love them with a fervent heart. That doesn't mean you have to trust them. It doesn't mean you have to hang out with them. But it does mean you get to love them. Amen? So we need to do that, because that's the Lord likes that atmosphere. That's His atmosphere in heaven. You know, there's no fights going on in heaven right now. All right, verse 23 says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we're talking about being born again, and you have been born again of incorruptible seed. Now that process took place where? in your spirit, right? And that's what we've been talking about. Inside your heart is incorruptible seed. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 22 and 23. This is what is on the inside of you right now. You don't need to pray for this. You don't need to try and get it. You don't need to ask God to put it in you. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, according to 1 Peter 1:23, you were born again of incorruptible seed. That seed being in your heart, being watered by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and then exercised, in other words, you act on what you have inside you, produces a fruit. That fruit is the fruit listed here in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those fruit live in you now. You don't need to pray for them. You need to act on them. Well, I just don't feel like it. Right. You're walking by faith, not by feeling. Do you know you can choose to talk things and say things in a more patient way? You can choose. Have you ever been in a situation where, like, if you're shopping or you're in traffic and you got to get somewhere and you left late already and you're in a hurry and you're like, have you ever felt your body just want to just like run everybody over? Or is that just me? That's just me. Okay, we'll just pretend it's me. I'll be the illustration. Do you know you can, by your spirit man, just say, nope. You're going to wait. Your body can be like vibrating, you know? Okay. And you get, nope, you're going to wait. Your body is like a little kid trying to throw a tantrum. All you got to do is hold it down. That's all you got to do. If you hold it down, it'll be fine. And by, now listen, that's not just willpower, that's Holy Spirit power inside of you. So don't just think, well, I'm just going to hold it down, you know, and your face is turning red and your knuckles are going white. Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit in you that gives you the ability to overcome. You know, and I was this way when I first got saved. I worked on my temper before I got saved. I worked on blowing up on people. You know, I practiced it. I exercised it. I could yell and swear with the best of them. And I had friends that practiced it. We worked as a group in terrorizing other people. So after I got saved, I had to learn a new way. I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, had to learn how to control and change the way I operated. And so you say, you're doing that perfect. Ask my wife. I ain't doing it perfect. You could ask my kids. There's more than once I'm like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. What I said was right. The way I said it, that's a whole nother discussion. Okay? And so I have to work on that, but I don't just work on it. It's not just a willpower thing. It's the power of the Holy Spirit within me. And the power of the Holy Spirit within me gives me the ability to dominate my body. Now listen, you got to think about this. The power that Jesus used to hang on that cross lives in you. Okay? Don't just think in terms of, okay, like a lightning bolt's going to hit me and then I'll be able to be superhuman and do it. No, it already lives in you. Don't look for a feeling. Understand that the truth is that the Bible is true and that it lives in you now. Act like it's so. And after a while, how many have noticed this? You just don't do things the same way you used to. Over time, it changes. Do you know this puts complete peace in a home? It does. It absolutely does. Especially, and you train your kids to act that way too. It just is peaceful. Nobody's fighting. Nobody's mad. Nobody's angry. Nobody's, you know, looking to get back at somebody else. That power resides in you now as a child of God. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And this is a verse we've looked at before, and I just want to reference it so you see it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And on some of these, if I get ahead of you and you think, I can't keep up, he's turning too fast, then just go ahead and write it down and look at it later. You can look at it later. But this is the division of you as a person. This is how you're divided up. It says this: now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people that say that spirit and soul are the same. But if you look at Hebrews, you can see here on the screen, the spirit, the soul, and the body, you're three different parts. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4, you'll see where the word of God is quick and powerful, able to divide what? Spirit and soul. Well, if they're dividable, how can they be the same thing? You see that? They can't be the same thing. So I just want to make that reference to you so that you understand that obviously you understand that you have a body. So let's look at spirit first. Let's go there first. And this is my best picture I could find of a spirit. I mean, you look up spirit, you get all sorts of stuff. So this was the best thing I could find. Google search, man. I got to find a different way to do things than Google images. I'm searching. If anybody knows of a good website, let me know. That's just stock full of photos that are decent. But so you are a spirit. Let's go to the second one here. Now, we talked about that. You have a soul or a mind. Okay, now listen to me. I want you to understand this. Your mind is not your brain. Okay? All right, now listen to me. Listen to me because I want you to understand this. No more than your heart is your spirit. You say, what? Listen, your brain is the physical organ that your mind processes through for here. You're a spirit. You're a spirit. Even with people that have like brain damage or they have had a damage in their brain, their mind is still fine. They just can't express themselves like they would wish they could. Because they're a spirit and a soul. They go on to live forever once they leave this body. Does that make sense? And so keep that in mind. And your spirit is not your heart. Your heart is the physical organ that pumps. How does it keep going? They still haven't figured it out. You want to know why? Because in the beginning, God. He's the word. He's the life source that keeps everything going. He is the sustaining power behind everything that you are in your physical body. That's why I believe in healing, physical healing. Why? God made it. He knows how to fix it. I mean, it's simple. For me, at least, that when I look at it. And so, keep that in mind. And then lastly, you're going to love this. You have a body. Now, I actually didn't find this one online. I just took a picture of my... during my workout, so you're all warned, you know, underneath this shirt, don't want to mess with me. Just so you know, we were going to put this on the church website, but... we just, you know, we wanted people to know it was a church, not a gym. All right. I'm glad you got some joy out of that. So you have a body or flesh, okay? And what I want to do is, let's go to Galatians 5. I want you to see this. Now, I know I didn't give you a lot of scripture on the other, but we're gonna hit scripture here as we get into how to deal with these areas. All right, so Galatians chapter 5, and this is where our discussion so far about the Spirit, we looked at several scriptures that referred to our bodies as a tent or the house that we live in. We are spirits, we possess a mind, and we live in a tent or a body. But here, I want to show you what the desire of the body or the flesh is, Okay? So Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Now I'm going to read to you in the Amplified, but I think you'll see it in whatever translation you have. It says this, Paul said this in verse 16, "But I say, walk and live as a habit in the Holy Spirit, responsive to, controlled, and guided by the Spirit." Then look at the second part here. "Then you will certainly not gratify the what? Desires, the cravings of the what? The flesh." Now, what do I know from that scripture? Let's look at another one. Let's look at verse number 18. Nope, let's not look at that one. That's not the one I want. Verse 17. Okay, very next verse. It says, "For the what? Desires." What does it say right after that? Against, right? But what I want you to see in that is the word desire. Now, the Amplified says this, "For the desires of the flesh are what? Opposed to what? The desires of the Spirit." Now, in the Amplified, it says Holy Spirit, and I don't think that's a great translation. The word Spirit in the Bible is, it's all the same word. In other words, there's not a separate word for pneuma or for human spirit and Holy Spirit. Okay, I think a better translation here, and you say, how do I tell the difference between what spirit it's talking about? You look at the context. A better translation here or understanding here for you is human spirit. Now, it is affected by the Holy Spirit because that spirit lives in you. But we know that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So are they the same spirit? No. They're together though. And God's nature has been planted in your spirit. Does that make sense? So that's how you were born again. That's that divine seed we're talking about in 1 Peter 1:23. Okay, so what we see here, though, is Paul brings out a distinction between desires. Do you see that? He's saying, look, you have a desire. Now, who is Paul writing to in Galatians? Christians. This is the church at Galatia. This is the church that he planted at Galatia. And he's writing to them and he's saying, look, in your body, guys, you have one desire, but in your spirit, you have another. And these are what? In opposition to each other. And if you read the rest of it, it says that you may not do the things that you want to do. I think a better way of saying that is this, that you may not do the desires of your flesh, but you may do the desires of your heart. Does that make sense? So how do we understand what the desires of the flesh are? Well, I'll tell you this. They're completely opposite of the desires of the spirit. How many figured that out? Okay, so let's look at these. Now, this is going to get a little wordy, but I want you to stick with me, okay? Here we go. All right, but this is going to get a little wordy. And what you're going to find out is that our culture, as far as the world around us, and it's done this since sin got into the earth, but I'll say this, our culture is more and more in their idea of atheism is really, they just want to do what their body wants to do. Okay? That's what you're going to find out. What you're also going to see in here is that by the Spirit of God, Paul gives us understanding into why people have certain desires that they do. Why they have certain thoughts or tendencies. Now, our science world, those who decide, okay, we're going to reject God, we don't believe in God at all, they are going to say, no, scientifically we can prove that people have certain desires. Look, you don't have to prove it scientifically even. The Bible says your body has desires. It's up to you as a Christian whether you control those things or not. Now, don't just think in terms of, okay, I gotta really just try and control this. I can't control this. Think in terms of the Spirit of God, the ability of God is giving me the ability to dominate the desires of my flesh. Okay? Now I'm gonna prove it to you in Romans 8 that he's given you that ability. But I want you to think that way because when we get it, as we look at these, people go, huh? Because really, a lot of times, people don't even realize this is in the Bible. Or they read through it in their Bible reading and go, oh yeah, I guess that's there. But they don't ever really take time to look at it and think about it. Okay? So, here they are. And we don't usually talk in these terms, but I'm going to give these to you quickly. I could give you too many scriptures to back these up, but I want you to think about it, okay? So listen to me carefully now. These are the desires of everybody, okay? I emphasize body. Okay, not everybody in the sense of, but every human being, every flesh has this desire. Now, I'm going to preface this with this too. That doesn't mean that every human deals with the same struggle in these areas. What I've found through the years is that people struggle in different areas. Like they'll gravitate towards certain ones. I had a friend of mine in high school, and man, he loved money. I mean, he told me one time, you know, we're in high school. I'm like, I'm not thinking about money or anything. I'm just thinking about, you know, the next 10 seconds in front of me. I'm not planning my life out. But he told me, he said to me one time, you don't ever just sit up at night and think of ways to make money? No. I would rather sleep than just sit and think. In other words, he had this desire in him for money. And I'll tell you, right now in his life, I've talked to him in the last few years. He's got lots of it. But you know what? He's miserable. Why? Because he thinks that this desire, this greed for money is going to fulfill his life, and it doesn't. The sad thing is that at one point or another, he has had some sort of relationship with the Lord. But the desire for money, he allows it to dominate him. And I'm going to use that term a lot. He allows it, or we allow. Because we can either control our bodies or let them control us. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. So the first one that is mentioned, and this is in Galatians. Let's go to Galatians. You're probably already there. But verse 19. Thank you. It is 19. Galatians 5:19 says this. Now the works of the flesh, or we could say the desires of the flesh, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. We use that word all the time, don't we? Lewdness. I love these words. That's why we're going to break them down a little bit for you. Okay? Idolatry, sorcery. Have you ever seen somebody practicing sorcery? Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Okay, you ready? Everybody's like, yeah, I can't wait for the definitions of these. This will help you. Why is this important to go over? So you don't fall into it. And so you realize you don't get confused. Because the enemy will come to you and he goes, well, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't feel that way. You really wouldn't have that desire. And this information, this truth will help you, and you can look at him and go, no. My body has that desire. I don't. I'm a spirit. I have the Holy Spirit within me. My body desires to go a direction that I'm not going to go. And by the power of the Holy Spirit within me, I'm going to control the desire of my flesh and follow the desire of my heart. Does that make sense? Okay, now I know this is going to be a little bit of work for you, but stick with me, okay? Adultery, and I got to make sure there's no little ears. I'll adjust the definition if there's little ears. I think all the kids are gone, right? Oh, he's sound asleep. Okay. Lord, keep him asleep. All right. Adultery is unlawful sexual relations between men and women, single or married. Okay, that's what adultery is. Now, adultery is this also. It's when a married person has sex with another married person that they're not married to. That's adultery. Now, is that a desire of a Christian's heart? Who is that a desire of? What's that a desire of? The flesh. It's the flesh. Now, listen to me. Could you get so sanctified that your flesh isn't going to have that desire anymore? The answer is no. Now, that doesn't mean that that desire has to overrun you. It doesn't have to be like this strong thing that just takes you out. That's not what it means. What it means is every day when you wake up, you need to understand, I need to guard my mind and follow my heart. Does that make sense? Because I don't care, again, I got to remind you of this, who is Paul writing to? The church. The church? Shouldn't he be writing to the Satan worshipers? They're the ones doing that. Oh, brother, give me a break. The church is doing some of this. I've been around long enough to know. It's going on. It's going on in leadership in churches. But listen, we're not here to judge anybody. We're here to let the Word of God enlighten us, and we follow what God tells us to do. Amen? We'll let God deal with them. Amen? All right? So that's not the issue. Okay, secondly, fornication. Everybody knows what that is. Fornication is the same as adultery, except it's all manner of other unlawful relations, okay? Now, fornication deals with a lot of things, but fornication has more to deal with people who are not married, okay? It's a relationship sexually outside of the marriage covenant. Does that make sense? Okay. Uncleanness. Oh. Whatever is opposite of purity, including sodomy, homosexuality, lesbianism, pedophiles, and there's more, and I'm not going to go into them because I don't even want to say them, and other forms of sexual perversion. That's a desire of the flesh. That is the in the flesh nature, okay? I could give you the scriptures for these. If you want them, I can give them to you. How many have read through the Old Testament before and seen some of the things that went on? I mean, it is disgusting. And people say, well, what caused that? Listen, Adam and Eve sinned. Where God does not rule, there is no rule. There's no guideline. That's why evolution is so dangerous. People think, well, what do you mean? You realize Hitler was a big evolutionist. In other words, how do I decide what's right and wrong if God doesn't set a morality? It's just up to me? Well, I decide you shouldn't be here anymore then. Do you see what I'm saying? It's so dangerous. We must understand these things. We must have truth in our lives. And I'm excited about it because God is giving us truth. All right, lasciviousness is the promoting or partaking of that which tends to produce lewd emotions, anything tending to foster lust. That is why many worldly pleasures have to be avoided by Christians, so that lasciviousness may not be committed. How many have ever been in a good church service and then you've either seen a show on TV or been in another situation where people are doing stuff that they shouldn't? It stirs up in you to do that. Why? Because you have a body. Well, it's because I'm a sinner. No, you're sanctified by the blood of Jesus in the Spirit. Your flesh is not redeemed. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, one day God's going to give you a brand new body. And you will never have to deal with this again. But what he did is he gave you the scripture so that you could deal with this and the power of the Holy Spirit while you're on earth, that you could overcome these things. Say it with me. I have the ability of God to overcome all desires of the flesh. You say, what do I do if I've made a mistake? Ask for forgiveness. It is a throne of mercy. What does that mean? You go and receive what you don't deserve. Amen. Thank God. You say, have you ever had to do that? Yeah, I've had to go to the throne of mercy. Absolutely. Are you kidding? I did it yesterday. You said, you committed one of those first four yesterday? No, I did not. At this stage, most of the things that I'm overcoming or dealing with and getting stronger in are like, you know, don't use that tone of voice with your kids. But listen to me, friends. There was a day shortly after I was saved where I had to deal with all the junk that I was in before I got saved. Nobody is in a place of perfection. We're all growing and moving forward. That's why everybody in this place should not feel an ounce of condemnation. Because God's not telling you this because he's mad at you. He's telling you, listen, this is the path of light and life. I love you. Come on. Let's go this way. And as you do, the fruit of righteousness will manifest and your life will be better and better and better. Amen. The path of the just is what? Like the rising of the sun. It shines ever brighter unto what? The perfect day. My life is just getting brighter and brighter. You say you never have to deal with the enemy. Oh yeah, every day. We got to deal with the enemy every day. But as long as I stick with the promises, it's just like that word the Lord gave us before the service, the teaching time during worship. Listen, stick with him because he's in the light. Even if it feels like darkness is around you, stick with him. Everybody say, stick with him. Okay, another one is idolatry. Idolatry includes anything on which your affections are passionately set. extravagant admiration of the heart. In other words, anything that takes the place of God is an idol. God has to be first, not just in the sense of, yeah, God's first in my life. God has to be the one who you look to first in everything you do. Okay? So people have said this, God first, family second. No, no, no. God first in business, God first in family, God first in finances, God first in marriage, God first in parenting, God first, you see what I'm saying? God's just first. He's always first. Okay? So everything that we do, we leave the idolatry out. We don't even bother with that. We just put God first because we worship Him above all else. Amen? Sixth on the list is witchcraft. What? I thought that was demons. I thought that was just black, you know, dark spirits that are looming, you know, witchcraft. No, it's a desire of the flesh. It's a desire of the flesh according to what? The Bible. We can trust this book. Now, dark spirits are involved. Don't get me wrong. Evil spirits are involved. But you understand this. God is light. But the nature of the flesh has a desire that is for witchcraft. Okay? So keep that in mind. And that's sorcery, the practice of dealing with evil spirits, magical incantations, you know, things like that. That's why you might want to limit some of the Disney shows your kids watch. Not all of them. But just be aware. They are throwing spells around and abracadabra all the time. Just be aware of it. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you have the Holy Spirit. You can be led. Amen? Okay? So, hatred is a desire of the flesh. Hatred is bitter dislike. It's malice. It's ill will against anyone. A tendency to hold grudges against or be angry with someone. Variance, we use that word all the time. Some of these words, if you try and look them up in the Webster's online, it's like, that's not a word. But it's kind of older English is what it ends up being. But variance is dissensions, discord. How about you're always fighting all the time? Have you ever met somebody that their whole life is a fight with everybody? They're at variance. Let me give you a word of advice. Don't just hang out with them. You know what I mean by that? Don't just constantly let them be in your life. Now, it may be okay to, you know, be around them every once in a while, but for me, if your life is a constant fight and you're trying to drag me into it, we're not going to hang out much. It's just not going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? You're always fighting with somebody. Somebody's always doing you wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. Really what they're saying is I'm unrepentant. I don't ever change. I want everybody else to change to meet my needs. Well, you're selfish, you're fleshy, and believers can be that way. So just be aware of that, and then don't do it yourself. Emulations, that's a weird word, but it simply means jealousy. Striving to excel at the expense of others. Remember when we talked about love? Love strives for the betterment of somebody else. It strives to do good, but not at the expense of someone else. It strives to do good to give glory to God, but at the same time, in the process of it doing good, it takes what God gives it, the love of God does, and then shares it with the person that's maybe a little bit behind and tries to help them up. Do you see that? That's what the love of God does, where people that are competitive and they're full of jealousy just want to crush you and make sure you never get up. So that they can be number one. Does that make sense? So that's another area where you need to be aware of. The tenth is wrath. Wrath. I'm going to have to work on my counting. Wrath, which is domestic and civil turmoil, rage, lasting anger, determined and lasting anger. What does that mean? You ain't forgiven them yet. That's what that means. You're a Christian who has lasting anger towards someone. They really hurt me. Yeah, you really need to forgive them. Yeah, but it's not fair. Whoa. Let's back everything up. Come on, how many of your mama said, life ain't fair? Okay? It's not about being fair. It's about living righteously. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you just have to let somebody beat you up. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you need to forgive them and move on. Amen? All right. Strife is disputations. Strife about words, angry contentions, a lot of fighting. You notice that? Your flesh loves to fight. Seditions is, again, it has to do with divisions, dividing things up. Do you ever notice the news media tries to divide races up? I'm talking about color of skin, right? You know, that I'm everything pretty much white. Okay? Don't get nervous. All right? What do you mean by that? Like, my dad's Scottish and Irish. My mom's Norwegian and Danish. Dude, that's everything pale. Okay? We are really white. But you know, I was watching a show the other day, and there was an African-American gentleman on TV, and his last name was spelled just like mine. McFarlane. Exactly the same. And I looked in our history, as far as our Scottish history on that side, because that's what that last name is, Scottish. And there's a ton of blacks. Tons. I'm really a brother. You can't tell, but I am. I am. But the world would want to try and divide us by color or by class or by financial status. Don't even mess with that stuff. Now, if people do something wrong, they should be punished for what they've done if it's racially oriented. Do you understand what I'm saying? But for the most part, people just get along with each other. They really do. And so don't let them stir up things. Don't let the enemy and the media and your flesh stir things up in you. Let the love of God dominate you. And pray and believe God to take care of these issues of justice and things that need to be taken care of in the government. Amen? All right. Just a side thought there. All right, so heresies is one, which is anything that's heretical, all right? Envyings. Envyings is pain or ill will and jealousy at the good fortune or blessings of another. It is the most base of all degrading and disgraceful passions. In other words, you're happy when somebody else gets hurt. Do you know that's about as devilish as it gets? The enemy desires to destroy people. And he'll pretend to be their friend just to kill them. But God is not that way at all. The Bible actually says he takes no pleasure in judgment. He takes no pleasure in the hurt of anybody, even if that person has spit in his face. Do you know that God does not desire any atheist to go to hell, ever? What God does is he honors the choice that the person makes. Why? Because he's got integrity. He's a God of honor. He doesn't just ride over the top of you and make you do what he wants. Amen? All right. You guys are doing good. All right. So murders is one. You know, people say, well, they must have been demon-possessed. No, it's just a desire for murder in the flesh. You say, I don't have that desire. Good. You got it under control. Don't let it rise up. All right? You got it under control. How do you do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So 16 is drunkenness. That's obvious. You're living in an intoxicated life. You're a slave to drinks. You have what they call drinking bouts. The last one is called revelings, and what it is rioting, but it means this: lascivious and boisterous feastings with obscene music and other sinful activities. So basically any party that the world puts on. Okay? If God's not in the party, you don't want to be in it. Does that make sense? And I, this is a kind of a touchy subject, especially in our current culture with drinking and different things like that. Listen, I'm not going to live your life for you, but I will tell you this. When it comes to these things and the desires of the flesh, I know for me, when I came out of the world that I was living in before, when I wasn't saved, I was good at partying. We did every one of these pretty much. I better be careful. We almost did every one of these, okay? And sometimes all in the same party. You know what I mean? I mean, there was, if when I was in high school, we go to a party or something, there was going to be a fight. And the more alcohol we got in us, the better. Why? Because you can't feel nothing. You know what I mean? What do you mean by that? Well, you get hit, you can't feel a thing because you're drunk, you're numb. You understand what I'm saying? So when I left that lifestyle, I had to really separate my... I literally lost all my friends. All of them. And I had a few. I mean, friends. You know, I use that term loosely. We all got together regularly. Okay? I don't know if we were really friends. We kind of treated each other not very good. There's not a lot of love of God being shared. You know what I mean? It was mostly survival of the fittest. Does that make sense? Okay? And it was hard for me for a while, because you feel like you lose everything. But if you believe God, He'll bring you to a place where you have more friends than you ever thought you could. You will. And you know, honestly, as the church grows, a lot of them will just be right here. Just this community, living in this faith family. It'll happen. It will happen. Okay? So you say, oh, I don't have any friends. Well, show yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly. Well, I asked and they said no. Okay, but don't pout about it. Ask somebody else. Amen. Okay, it's that simple. Okay, don't let the enemy tear you up over stuff like that. Just be faithful and believe God. Trust Him. He's right. And it'll happen. It'll happen. And you'll find friends that you just thought, man, how did it, this is the best. God's good. He's faithful to His word. And your life will keep continuing to get better, to get brighter and brighter as you walk with Him and continue with Him. Amen? And so say it with me. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Okay, we'll end with this. Romans chapter 8. I told you I was going to give you a scripture to show that the Holy Spirit will give you the power to overcome all these things. And then next week we'll get into more detail on how this balances out. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse number 13. Okay? You might want to mark this one down, write it down. And if you're struggling in these areas, in any of these areas, make the scripture your own. Take your Bible with you wherever you go and open and read it frequently. Write it down on a card and keep it in your back pocket. Put it in your purse. Put it in your wallet. Do something with it and continually look at it and say, and when a desire comes up that's of the flesh, stop and say, nope, Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if what? By the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will surely live. Now listen to the Amplified version of this, okay? Romans chapter 8, verse number 13 in the Amplified says, for if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will die. But if you through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually, in other words, this is a habit, you are putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live. Look at that. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you to continually, as a habit, put down murder, put down hate, put down envy, put down jealousy, put down all those things. You have the ability in you. It's already there. You don't have to try and, come on, help me, Lord. No. It's there. Live in it. Okay? This is why I started with the Spirit first. You can stand with me. This is why I started with the Spirit first. You say, what do you mean by that? I want people to understand, and this is where we get the title or part of the vision for the church, Life in Christ. I want people to understand that they have the resurrection of Christ within them. And when you begin to understand that, you don't look at situations and things that you faced in the past and trials from the perspective of, oh God, please help me. You look at it from the perspective of, Lord, that's a mountain. You told me I could put it in the sea. I have your power within me to overcome these things. Does that make sense? I'm not just trying to get it. When I received the nature of God on the inside of me when I was born again, I received the same ability that Jesus walked in to defeat death, hell, and the grave. And God through the Apostle Paul in Romans and we're going to see it in Colossians and we're going to see it in Ephesians, but we saw it in Galatians today as well as Romans. He, by revelation, gave us this understanding by the Holy Spirit that you have that ability in you now. Don't try and go look for it, but realize it lives in you now. Does that make sense? And as you do and then act on it, your life is going to get freer and freer and freer and freer. To where you'd be like, wondering in a day, there's just peace all day long. Because that's where we can live. We have this ability within us to live and rest in Christ. Oh, sure, there's going to be stuff going on in the world. That's a guarantee. It's a given. It's a promise. Just most people don't put it on their fridge. Jesus said, in this life, you'll have what? Trouble. But cry and feel sorry for yourself. Oh, that wasn't in there? No, that wasn't in there. I'm sorry, that's the wrong translation. He said what? Be of good cheer. No, but Lord, there's trouble in the world. He said, that's the problem, son. You're looking for the cheer in the world, not inside you. Come on. You see that? It's in you. Stir, you know, like we talked about last week, the chocolate milk, stir it up. Sometimes all the flavor just goes to the bottom. You gotta stir it back up. Okay? Does that make sense? So this morning, I just want to do this. I just want to pray that your eyes will be open to this truth. And then we'll be done. Amen? Let's all just bow our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us today. For showing us truth. Lord, we know that by your Holy Spirit and your word, that you're causing us to step up higher in understanding in you. To walk in greater levels of light and understanding. Lord, we know that your truth brings us light and we don't stumble in the darkness when we have the light. And so, Lord, I just ask for us as a group, as a church, as Faith Family Church. Father, the prayer in Ephesians 1, that you would open the eyes of our understanding about what has been spoken today. Lord, the seed of your word has been planted. It's been watered. Lord, you said you give the increase. So we say, thank you for the increase, Lord. That these truths will just rise up in the hearts of your people, and that their homes will be more peaceful. That parents will teach their kids about the reality of Christ within. That relationships, marriages will be stronger because they understand now and are understanding now that some of the things they've been having disagreements about are just flesh things. And they didn't know how to overcome them, but they do now. They do now. So Lord, by your Holy Spirit, bring all things to our remembrance this week. And Lord, give us greater understanding as we move forward in you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Don't forget Wednesday night, we got the parenting classes. And say hi to somebody on the way out. Bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.